Today, if you'd like to turn to Proverbs chapter 4, and you can take, excuse me, your outline out. It's a rather simplistic outline, as you will see, and we look forward to turning to God's Word here in just a moment. I do want to remind you as you give today that engage is a very important word we're going to talk a lot about this year. We are wanting you to engage in many ways. One of them is every time you come to church that you engage with someone who you do not know. Every single week, it may be one, two, someone talked to me this week, and they are kind of making it a goal that before service, during service, and after service, that they're connecting with three different people that they do not know to engage with them, find out who they are, what their background is, share life, and try to encourage one another. Pastor Mike shared some wonderful small group opportunities that we have. You can go back and talk with them at the Connect counter today, but there's just an awful lot that we have to offer in those areas. Secondly, I want to encourage you to engage with someone who does not have a relationship with Christ. So be prayerful about it, strategic about it, inviting them to church. Just this week, Carl and I have invited a couple gals to MOPS tonight, and I'm just trusting that they're going to come, and we need to be strategic. We need to be burdened and praying, and at least one, just to engage with one. The other thing that we did is last week, in case you were not here, we looked at the 400 blocks all around Central Assembly, from Chestnut up to Kearney, across to Kansas Expressway, and then all the way over to National, that basically are about 390 blocks that we consider our primary mission field. And to invite you, and we have beautiful little cards made. They're almost all gone now. We made replicates of them, and you can go back to the Connect counter and pick up one of those and go and drive that block as I did mine this week. And I counted just 13 little houses there, and I've been praying all week long over them. Carla has her block that she's praying for, and we would encourage you, there may be 50 cards left out of, I think, over 800 that we had ready for you last week. But to take a block and pray over that block. Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers to your harvest field. How many believe that this part of Springfield needs Jesus? Amen. Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers. It will change our hearts. There's more to come in this, but step number one in 2015 is simply to be praying block by block over these. So we encourage you to engage in prayer over one of those blocks. Proverbs 4, if you are following in 2015, your reading, you read these words yesterday would have been your reading, I believe. Let's look at it, verse number 20. Verse number 20, my son, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight, keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and then all of your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. I remember the conversation like it was just yesterday, and it was long before we came here to Central. I was upstairs in our bedroom in the house we lived in at that point, sitting in my chair, and I had had conversations with this couple for years. I had met, I don't know how many hours, but I'm sure into over 100 hours with them. And it came to a point, it kind of came to a head, and I finally said to the wife, I said, just hear me in this. And at that moment, I felt God was speaking through me. But I said, I assure you this, if you continue down the path that you are on, if you continue with the man that you are with, if you follow through on this divorce, the day will come, you will turn your children away from their father. And she adamantly was opposed to that. She said, I would never do such a thing. I said, you mark my words, you will do that. And that's exactly what happened. Stories like that break a pastor's heart. A lot of time invested in prayer and care and concern. But they're a dime a dozen. And they underscore something that I realize as we are reading through, and just this last week, especially reading through Proverbs, I begin to kind of reflect back. And we're now into chapter 4, just reading little nuggets every single day of this book. But we realize that the book of Proverbs is much like I felt in that moment as a pastor, sharing what I knew was wisdom, not my wisdom, God's wisdom for them, but a plea, a calling, almost a begging at times. And that's what the book of Proverbs is like in many ways. If you look to the screen, it opens up chapter 1, verse 1, saying that these are the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And here's why they are written. They are written to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and let the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. Then verse 7, the classic verse, the fear of the Lord is a beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Then listen to the very next verse, verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. And then if you drop your eyes down, if you have your Bible, your hand held in front of you, verse 20, wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the market, she raises her voice. Verse 24, because I have called and you refuse to listen. And then chapter 2 opens, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Chapter 3 opens up, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Chapter 4 opens up, hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. Verse 10, hear my son and accept my words. Verse 13, keep hold to instruction, do not let go. Verse 20, my son, be attentive to my words. And this continues for 9 chapters. We really in chapter 10 begin those little nuggets of verse by verse by verse, all of the proverbs we're used to. But realize for 9, a third of this book is a plea. It is saying that wisdom is something that you need. It exalts wisdom. It really reveals to us as we look in the imagery of chapter 7 and 8 that wisdom actually is God. God is wisdom, and he wants to impart wisdom to us, and there is the plea that we would gain, that we would receive, that we would make ourselves attentive to and desire to receive that wisdom. Our text today captures a few keys to this plea. Keys to life, keys to how to live a wise life, to keep us from falling the traps of what so many fall into in the way that they live their lives. And it's like God is wanting again to impart to us wisdom and knowledge, instruction and correction. And these, as the opening words of the book describe, especially Proverbs is good for young people. It says these are written really for the youth especially, those that have their whole lives out of ahead of them. The book of Proverbs is a great book for sons and daughters. And if you're here today and you're a college student, you're a high school, junior high student, wherever you're at, you're a young person, even a young couple in life, I would encourage you today to realize the book of Proverbs is for everyone, but especially it has you in mind. And there's 31 chapters, so you can begin right now and for the rest of your life. Just take a chapter a day, and basically every single month you can read through the book of Proverbs. Yet the reality is for all of us here, we're all sons and daughters, aren't we? And we all need God's wisdom. And so I'd speak to you as I'd speak to myself as I've been reading through. It kind of, for me at my age, I reflect back and I think of ways that I've done it right, and then I think of ways that I have failed as I'm already reading through now into chapter 4 of Proverbs. But the bottom line is, we all need the wisdom of God. And you know why? It's because we make choices. That's really what wisdom is all about. It's about choices. Something Pastor Mike mentioned last Sunday night. By the way, we had a great Sunday night last night. I encourage you to come back out. And Mike is going to continue a teaching on prayer, and we'll have prayer around the altars, corporate prayer. But obviously, Mike talked about how man makes choices. What a gift that God has given us. If everything was completely and solely predetermined, then I'd ask you today, why do we need wisdom? We would just be robots. God with the controls. We'd have no opportunity to willfully serve him. Life would just be basically living out something that's pre-programmed. Instead, Proverbs, as the entirety of Scripture, is a story of God calling, pleading with man to make the right choice, to obey him or to reject him, to choose him or to say, I don't want you in my life, God, to listen to him or to ignore him, to serve him or to deny him. Oh, we see God's hand at work in a sovereign way. It's not like God just spun this thing into order as we're looking at on Wednesday nights and then walked away from it as an agnostic might believe. But instead, we see the sovereignty of God. And yet within the sovereignty of God, we see God willing to say, I'm going to give you control, if you will, of your life. I'm going to give you the decisions, the free will to make choice in your life. So these few verses in Proverbs 4 are midway through those opening nine chapters of espousing wisdom and repeatedly calling us to gain wisdom. And housed here are five really practical little keys, but yet we see them all the way through the book of Proverbs. For everyday living, choices, life. And let's walk through them. But before we do, I don't want you to forget this message. I was trying to figure out a way, because I realized by Monday morning about 9:30, most of you will think, man, what was it he talked about yesterday? And you can't remember. I know that. I'm a pastor. It's very encouraging to our hearts, I might add. So I thought, what can I do as we look at these five keys? And then I realized my old friend. He was a friend long to me, long before Andy came along, or Buzz, or Jesse, or Woody, or even Slinky. But good old, let's welcome him to Central Assembly. All right, Mr. Potato Head, give him a hand this morning. Come on, welcome him. That's right. How many of you know he is like a walking Bible character right here? Did you ever think of that? He definitely is for Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. Let's take a look at this verse by verse. Verse number 20, my son, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Right off the bat, and it's already been over and over again, we realize that Mr. Potato Head and all of us here need what? We need ears. It's a key to wisdom. Did you capture that? Verses 1 of chapter 2, verse 1 of chapter 3, verse 1 of chapter 4, and already in between, over and over again, the writer is saying, Solomon is pleading with us to use our ears to listen to wisdom. How many mistakes in your life have come from the result that you did not listen to your mother, your father, your pastor, your youth pastor, that youth counselor at camp, that mentor, that coach, that friend, whoever it was. The greatest athletes, the educators, the politicians, people that we watch that receive a lifetime achievement award or something, it's almost without fail. You listen to their speech, and along the way, sooner or later, they'll mention key people in their life, and you'll realize the key is they were willing to listen to them. Matter of fact, that is a mark of successful people, are people that listen. Just Google it. Everywhere you go online, it will help you to be a better listener. There's online courses you can take right this afternoon to say, I just want to improve my listening skills. They're right there for you. All kinds of books, all kinds of instruction. A former CEO and leading sales manager, Christina McEntee, she responded to Forbes magazine a few years ago, a question. They said, what is the single greatest key to a good salesperson? And she said, the best salespersons for me are persistent, they're persuasive, they're strategic thinkers, they're energetic, they're able to offer compelling arguments to overcome the resistance of the people they're selling to. Many of them, as you would expect, are equally good talkers, but if I had to pick just one quality that all of these individuals share, it'd be this, the ability to listen. Isn't that interesting? A salesperson. Not talk, but the ability to listen. How interesting then that that's where Proverbs kind of begins here. Over and over again with our ears. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. So what you need to do today, first of all, if you want to live a wise life, if you want to live a blessed life, you need to tune your ear to wisdom. And there are so many voices speaking today. And I kind of get a little bit weary, and I'm a little bit careful myself of it, wary of it myself, to say that, you know, today compared to my generation before, let me tell you something, sin has ruined man for a long, long time. And yet I look at today, and I look at you as young people, those of you here, say under the age of 25, and within my heart, I just realize it is different today, mainly because of technology, but it's different today. And there's so many voices speaking today. And it's not just voices, but it's lifestyles. It's morality, or what the Bible would call immorality. It's philosophies, and they come powerfully to you through music, through video games, through television, through the movies. And they typically, as often is the case, they come along with your peers. And peers are such an amazing voice into our lives. A boyfriend to a girlfriend, best friends to girls, or best friends to guys through high school, junior high school, college. And that the voices are constantly speaking to you. And I'd ask you this morning, what are you listening to? More so, who are you listening to? Because we all need to tune our ears to hear God. Most of the pain in life, most of the pain in people's lives comes from when they didn't listen to God. And I'm telling you, God's speaking. Psalm 19, a psalm we just read recently in our reading. Psalm 19, that God is speaking. He speaks through his creation. And then David turns it, that he's speaking through his word. And his word is like honey from the honeycomb. And so you need to desire his word. Oh, Lord, at the end of that psalm, let me follow your word, not fall into willful sin. Let me follow the path that you have for me. It's that plea again and that response. That is why 2015 and 2015 means so much to me as a pastor. I've read through the Bible numerous times. And I'm reading through it again with you this year. But I want you to be reading God's word. It takes but only a few minutes a day, about 8 to 10 minutes, to read through the Bible. If you'll just read every day, but you'll be receiving God's wisdom. And you need to tune your ear to hear from God. The way you do that primarily is through reading his word. The writer goes on, verse 21. Solomon says, let them not escape from your sight. It's interesting, isn't it, that he realizes that our eyes are very important. And how many want to make sure that Mr. Potato Head has eyes this morning and that he stands up? There we go. Or do we want him to have eyes when you think about it? I remember the song we used to sing when I was a child in church. I had no idea the deep theology that was there, but you know what? It was good stuff. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Remember that? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see, for the Father up above is looking down in love, so be careful, little eyes, what you see. How many of you sing that in your life? And it sounded a lot better to you back then? Okay. Oh, be careful, little ears. Oh, be careful, little feet. Oh, be careful, little mouth, right, what you say. Singing theology. We're singing Proverbs chapter 4. Let these words of mine not escape from your sight. The issue here, the call, is that the words that Solomon is saying, that his parents have taught him, which we have the precious word of God in 15 different translations and across our bookshelves, and to take and many times and not even allow a week can pass before our eyes even glance at his word. It's that we need to take his word, he says, and to read his word with the eyes that God has given us. Jesus said the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. And if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. And then he says, oh, how great the darkness can be within us. In other words, your eyes in many ways are the gate. And it floods you inwardly. What you place your eyes upon either fills you with light or fills you with darkness. They are a gate. As 1 John chapter 2, the Apostle John says, for everything in this world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it comes not from the Father, but from the world. This world and its desires are going to pass away, but the man who does the will of God is going to live forever. Three things, the flesh, the eyes, and pride or arrogance. Literally, what we see with our eyes can determine our spiritual destiny. So what you need to do, if you want to live a wise life, young people, hear me today, then guard your gate, guard your eyes, because they're the gate for your soul. And guys, we all know this, and I don't have time to develop it, and now and then we'll touch on it, and we handle it many times in our men's groups here. We all realize, and really, oddly enough, today it's even spread into becoming something major for females in America today and around the world, but that's pornography. And we realize it's horrific what it is doing. And you can read the studies, you know the statistics, and we just know what is day by day by day, that struggle to keep purity in your heart. You realize your eyes, they're that gate that you've got to guard. But it's not just porn. Lot looked and saw a well. He saw a well-watered valley down below him. And he decided, I'm going to choose that. And Abraham then went to a dust bowl. But he saw a well-fertile, well-watered valley. And Lot had no idea the decision he was making, the way it would impact the rest of his life and generations to come after him. Achan looked and saw a beautiful robe from Babylonia and silver and gold. And when he looked, the Bible says, he looked and he coveted them in his heart. And that's how he explained it then. And we know the horrific judgment of God that came upon Achan for his sin. He hid them in his tent. Our eyes get us into all kinds of trouble. They're the gate. They're the gate. Eve saw the fruit, that it was good for food and pleasant for the eye, and she ate. David, he looked down and he saw Bathsheba and he called her up to his chambers. I'm telling you, the eye, we have to guard the gate, Proverbs tells us. Third key is our heart. Verse 23, for it says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Now, poor potato head doesn't have a heart, so I'm not moving toward him. Did all of you catch that? But think about our heart, just for a moment. Keep your heart with all diligence. I think about it now that I have one grandchild and two on the way. I know I do not look that old. It's amazing, isn't it? But by next July, we'll have three. And they seem so innocent till the age of two. They seem so innocent, don't they? But even Bentley at two, I mean, Christmas was an absolute blast with her. And I look at her, I just think, and you see the innocence. You see that sense. And even though you know there's a sinful nature in there, and it begins to be revealed, but it kind of breaks your heart because you realize there's a purity to a little child. And even influences that come even early in their life already begins to mar that. Just speaking to someone yesterday that is ministry to two little children, ages 2 and a matter of 13 months, and realizing already the influence upon them and what sin is already doing to these little children. Doesn't it just break your heart? You realize what the key, though, is their hearts. Well, Pastor Justin right now and our preschool staff and the nursery staff are ministering right now. We realize we're dealing with little children's hearts and how important those hearts are, that you keep your heart. And if you have been raised, listen, if you have been raised in the innocence and you say at this point as a young person, I've been faithful to the Lord and I've really strove to keep my heart right, don't ever be embarrassed of a testimony that you say, well, I don't even have a testimony of coming out of sin. Don't be embarrassed of that. Just keep your heart right where it's at. Once that heart begins to move, and amen. Once that heart begins to move and sin begins to corrupt, the rest of your life you'll be battling to keep your heart. But that's what he says here. Keep your heart with all vigilance, because out of it flow the spring of life. And it's interesting, isn't it? As you look at these, I don't even know if Solomon intended this, but there are five things he mentions in these few verses. And the first two, your eyes and your ears, are really input. They're things that you're receiving from outward. And really the last two have to do more with the output of your life. But in between is the key to it all. Number three is your heart. Jesus was talking one day to his disciples about their words. And words are very important. We'll talk about that in a moment. But yet Jesus got to the, as Jack Black called it, the nitty-gritty of it all. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. See, the issue to life, to choices, to wisdom or foolishness is the heart. Proverbs is a book calling to the heart. It's a picture of a father and a mother saying, my son or my daughter, listen to me. Please place these words into your heart. Hold them into your heart, because from your heart are the springs of life. The NIV says the wellspring of life. In other words, from your heart is the source of your life. The New Living Translation says, put your heart, or guard your heart, for your heart determines the course of your life. So you want to live a wise life, you have to remember your source of everything. It's your heart. Say, what do I guard my heart? Guard my heart. What do I guard it from? You guard it from people. You guard it from relationships. The Bible warns you, bad company corrupts good character and morals. You guard it from the crowd. You guard it from other influences, from philosophies that come your way, your mind. You guard your heart from impurity back to the eyes and the ears. And most of those things are outward things that come and constantly assault what? They assault your heart. This world tries to capture your heart, what John was writing about. But also there are things from within, like unforgiveness and bitterness. Guard your heart. Guard your heart from pride and arrogance. Guard your heart from anger that gets out of control and rage. Guard your heart from jealousy and avarice. Guard your heart from coldness and apathy. Guard your heart from negativity and pessimism. Guard your heart from worry and anxiety. There's so many things daily assaulting your heart from without or from within. So we need to guard it. Why? Because you need to remember your source. The writer continues, verse 24, put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Potato, Mr. Potato needs a mouth, doesn't he? Or does he? Because the mouth gets us into a lot of trouble. And it's amazing how much Proverbs has to say about your mouth. You know why? Two reasons. One is because out of your mouth, Proverbs and Jesus says, out of your mouth is actually a reflection of what's going on in your heart. So if someone just has a vile mouth, it just shows a vile heart. But the second reason is that your tongue, your words are powerful. They're powerful against yourself or for yourself, and they're powerful against others or for others. So when the heart gets cleaned up, then the mouth will follow suit. And Proverbs tell us the tongue is the power of life and death. Those who love it will eat of its fruit. And so if you love negativity, your heart is negative. It's just going to flow out of your heart. But if you love positive things, you want to be an optimist, and you want to live your life with a faith-filled life, then your mouth is going to reflect that, and it's going to follow suit from your heart. That your heart's powerful because your words flow out of it. So your words are powerful. They have the power of life and death. Words that bring healing, blessing, encouragement, or words that can bring damage. Jesus put it this way. He said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we know that verse. But then he said, the good person brings up out of the good stored up within him, the treasures that are good within him, out of his mouth then come those good things. And the evil person, out of the evil stored up within him, evil flows out of him. I tell you, he says, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word that they have spoken. I do not like that verse. How about you? I just soon kind of scribble that one out. But we'll give account, for by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Our words matter because they're powerful. Controlling our tongues. And it doesn't just mean cursing and taking God's name in vain. It's much more than that. It can be gossip. It can be that little white lie, that little twisting of something. It can be that you're talking about something that you have no business talking about. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus said that we shouldn't even discuss what people that are sinful do in secret. Shouldn't even go there. Yet how many, you know, we watch a lot of that, right? On television. What do we need to do? We need to watch our words. Watch your words. Build up rather than destroy. Bless rather than curse. Encourage rather than discourage. Be positive rather than be negative. Or just hold your tongue. Lastly then, verse 25. Let your eyes look forward, directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Say, well, now we're back to eyes, but follow a little bit here. He's saying here, though, your face, where you determine you want to head, you're going to direct yourself that way. Ask any pilot, ask any sailor. You think about it, when you get into your car, it's going to take you where you set your gaze. So there's a picture here of where you want to end in a destination. You set your gaze directly in front of you, and then look at the very next verse. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all of your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. I don't know about you, but I don't get up in the morning and then say to my feet, well, feet, where are you going to take me this week or this day? No, it's from our heart. A lot of times our eyes, maybe our ears, might even be what we've talked about, that begin to direct us and our feet lead us. And we need to ponder that path. And it's a fascinating study. As you go through Proverbs, go through and mark every time you see the word path, every time you see the word course, every time you see the word way, your path, your course. It's interesting. It's replete throughout Proverbs. Matter of fact, here and many times, the word in Hebrew means a rut. It means literally like a wagon, that what it leaves behind, or a chariot in that day, that you run through it and it leaves that rut behind it. It's really the picture of a path that you've trod, that many times your feet have placed upon it, and you end up building a rut, if you will. That's what life's all about, because we end up having habits. Habits with our eyes, habits with our ears, habits with our mouth, habits come from our heart, habits with our feet. I'll tell you a great habit. Just go ahead and establish it now, that every Sunday morning, possibly on Sunday nights, on Wednesday nights, you make that path to 1301 North Boonville Avenue. And you just said it. Many of you have done that for years. That's a wise decision you've made. That you make a path to a place that you meet with God. I often talk about my recliner there. We had some friends over recently. They said, is that the recliner? That's the recliner. I prayed in that for years. I wore out the one before it and would pray for it for years. There's a path basically that automatically, I can almost stumble my way in the dark early in the morning. I leave the bedside. I've knelt there for just a moment and I make my way to that chair. I've done it for years. It's a wonderful rut, if you will. We have all kinds of small groups here. Pastor Mike didn't mention any, but they're in the little catalog that you have there. You can go back to the Connect counter. But just this week, someone was telling me of how incredible that small group has been for them. And in essence, it has saved their life in many ways. Divorce care, grief share, men's electives, women's electives, Bible studies, Tuesday night women's Bible study, Wednesday night Bible study, small groups, Sunday school classes. That you find yourself, you build that path, you build that rut. Obviously, our feet are going to take us somewhere. The Hebrew here actually, on pondering, the word really means there to clear your path. Again, verse 25, setting your gaze before you. Verse 26, ponder or clear the path as you set your face before you. See, your path will follow. Your feet will follow a good path, establishing good ruts, because we're creatures of habit. A friend of mine used to just put it this way many, many times, but he'd say sin would have very few takers if the consequences were immediate. And that's so true. Because many times when we just start on a path, whatever path it may be, we're not really realizing where it's going to take us down the road in life. Just had a man in the early service this morning. And I guarantee you, that first time that he began down that path, he had no idea that then he would share with me for 30-some years the battle that he has had in that area in his life. But it all began with the first few steps down that path. So young people, hear me. Proverbs talks to you very directly about sex, especially to young men, to be wary and to be careful about your relationships physically. And it talks about marriage. And it talks about the beauty, what God designs for marriage, about sexuality. It talks to couples. It talks to singles, because you're going to make choices. Proverbs talks about drinking a lot. Say, oh, but everybody's doing it. Yeah, but Proverbs warns you about drinking. As a sports fan, I get tired, and I understand it's a money behind the business, and I get it, and so it's one beer commercial after another and other types of alcohol, but I get weary with that little tag. I feel like it's kind of that the onus is not on us as an industry when they always say at the end, drink responsibly. Tell that to the wife who, when he comes home in a drunken state, she always has to send the kids, say, lock your doors, and she takes physically, emotionally, whatever's going to happen. Tell that to the person who had, I mean, life by the tail. They breezed through the university. They got their master's degree. They are intelligent, well-educated, gifted. They have everything going their way. But there's something they began down the path as a young person, and it was simply on a Friday night, or it was simply just hitting happy hour a couple times a week. But they had no idea that in their 30s or their 40s or their 50s, it would cost them their marriage. It would cost them their career. They can't keep a job, because every time stress builds up, they automatically will turn to that, and the bottle becomes their relief. I've seen it over and over again. That's why Proverbs warns you of where your feet take you. Clear your path. I remember whenever I was leaving high school, my brother, as I mentioned many times, and Randy loves the Lord today. I'm so proud of my brother, and I refer to Randy quite a bit. But But I remember going in for my final counselor interview about what you're going to do with your life, and I sat before him, and we all kind of knew that this man was a pretty heavy drinker, enough that he slurred a lot, let's put it that way. And he kind of slurred to me, well, Jeff, what is you have in mind for your life? And I said, well, I'm going to be heading to Bible college. And he said, really, Bible college? And then he referenced seeing my brother many times that they would meet up at the very same place. Here's a man in his 50s, and here's my brother that at that point would be 21 years of age. So he had the freedom to go there. That's where their paths would meet. Friend, your path is going to take you somewhere. Watch that path. Be aware of your feet. Be aware of your words. Be aware of your heart, the center of it all. Be aware of your eyes, the gaze, what you're looking at, and be aware of your ears. You want to live a wise life, you make choices every single day you live. And it's so simple, isn't it? But we need to tune in with the right, our ears to the right. And we need to watch that gate every single moment, every day. It's a battle, but we need to keep vigilance over it and to watch our heart, because that's the very wellspring of all. That's the source of it all. And we need to be so careful with our words, and we need to watch the path of our feet. Would you bow your head with me and close your eyes today? Many of you make this trek to Central every Sunday, and we're family, and we're thankful, and God bless you. I'm thankful. I'm glad for many of you, your children. You have to get them registered and go through the line, and we do our very best to keep good watch over them. And I love Pastor Justin. We're blessed. He plants God's word into the hearts of your children. Many of you have been coming for maybe many decades now, where it's been 50, 60 years. There's a few here. So glad. This is a rut for you. It's a path you've taken. That's good. It's paid off in your life. I've no doubt about that. We have a lot of young people here. You're going to make some huge choices. It might be this coming Friday night. Huge choice. It breaks my heart to know that some of you are not watching your ears or your eyes. You're not being careful with your words. You're not being careful with the path of your feet. I pray that today, I've prayed all week long, that this message would minister to young people that really need to stop and consider these five keys to life, because what I'm begging you for is right now, because I have my eyes in mind of 20 years from now. I'm thinking down the road for your marriage, down the road for your future. There can be young couples here today, and you know it, husband, father, might be a single parent today, might be a wife today, and you realize it, you just need to work in some of these areas. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you through the simple nature of Proverbs chapter 4 today. Keys to your life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we're going to come to the Lord's Supper. In just a moment, we're going to receive the elements of communion. Represent the broken body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. And as we take just a moment to contemplate our hearts and our lives before Him, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me. And you may be here, and it's the first time you've ever walked through our doors. Or maybe you said, I used to go to church a long time ago, and I've been to church in ages. Or maybe you've been here for several weeks. Maybe you come here all the time. But today you realize you need to ask forgiveness for your eyes, for your ears, for your mouth, for your actions, your deeds, your path. And you're really not following the path. I want to invite you to pray with me right now. Give you that opportunity, and then we're going to come to these elements of communion. But if that's you today, would you pray right now? Would you pray with us? Just open your heart to God. I'm just going to lead you through a prayer. Let's pray it together. Just say, oh God, I believe in your word. I've not followed you perfectly. I have sinned. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse my heart. Help me with my eyes, with my ears, my words, my feet, above all my heart. I invite you to come into my heart. I believe that you died for me, paid the price for my sins. So forgive me now and cleanse me and give me the power to leave this place and to live for you. And thank you for what you did at the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ushers, would you come forward and let's worship the Lord together. Together as they are finishing the distribution of the elements. Would you take that bread into your hand right now and just ponder what Jesus has done for us? It's a simple message today with a simple illustration, but I think we acknowledge, and there's a prayer I pray from the old common book of prayer that really covers ears and eyes and words and feet, because repentance often does. This is what we have to repent from. So just to thank him today that he paid the price. And as Pastor Don leads us for the bread now, let's thank him for his body that was broken. It was broken for us. It was broken for these senses, if you will, that we often follow after, that lead us into sin. And he's covered it all. And we can make this a moment of celebration at his table to thank him for what he's done for us. So let's do that as we lift the bread. Would you lift it up toward heaven as Don leads us now? Let's celebrate the broken body of Jesus for us.
Thank you, Lord. We bless your name today, O God. Our souls reach up to bless your name. For we realize that when we found Jesus, our lives were put back together, literally mended and put back together. You healed us. You repaired us. And ever since, every time we feel the need, you repair us again and you heal us again. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Christ Jesus. Thank you for his broken body, his stripes, his wounds, and our resulting salvation, and our resulting healing. We bless your name today, O Lord. Our souls cry out to bless you, Lord. Deep within us, we just stop and say, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the closeness of your love as we celebrate your sacrifice on Calvary. In Jesus' name and for your glory. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Let's receive together the bread. Thank you, Lord. And in honor of him, could we stand together? And as a worship team will lead us into worship after we've received the cup, the prayer team will come forward. We'll be available for prayer if you have any needs today. But we're going to worship him. Would you just lift the cup heavenward as we stand in his honor and thank Jesus that nothing else but his blood could cover our sins today. And let's thank him as David leads us. Thank you, Lord.
Father, this morning we have heard so clearly that we are human and we do falter and we do walk away from you oftentimes. And not just with our feet, but with our hands and with our eyes and with our ears and even with our mouths. But Father, what you did for us on Calvary made it possible for us to bring all of those things under your blood. All we have to do is ask for that blood to flow over our lives, to cleanse us and to bring us into right relationship with you. Father, I just pray today that as we hold this symbol of your shed blood, Lord, that we would realize that we can be in good standing, in good relationship with you and with our brothers and sisters by simply taking our lives and placing them under the blood of Christ. We thank you for that today. Now, Lord, I pray as we receive this together that we will also together, Lord, receive your forgiveness, receive your healing, receive your cleansing. We thank you for it in Christ's name.
Receive the cup together by faith.